Welcome, witches, to episode 28 of Witch Talk. I'm your host, Bree, a Scorpio Sun, Taurus Moon, Pisces Rising, and this is a witch's guide for the week of August 26th to September 1st, 2024. What a week it has been for me, but we are back. You know what's so funny? Despite being an astrologer, I never seem to take my own advice when it comes to Mercury retrogrades and such, which I think is hilarious. I wonder if any of you witches and astrologically inclined listeners resonate with that, but I guess I won't really learn my lesson until this experience keeps knocking me over the head and over the head and over the head. Kind of like that Saturn return, is it called Saturn Interlude by Ariana Grande, that on her new album, where it's like knocks you over the head, knocks you over the head, knocks you over the head. But I will say we have a quick period right now at the start of September where things are relatively better and will make a bit more sense. Mercury stations direct this week. Venus enters her domicile of Libra. The moon will be in Cancer and then Leo. It's not the worst. It could definitely be worse. This week, Uranus in Taurus, also retrogrades. And then Pluto leaves Aquarius and enters Capricorn. So there's a lot to talk about. Let's get into it. So starting on August 27th, Venus trines Uranus at 3:23 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. As Venus in Virgo makes a trine to Uranus in Taurus, we experience a relationship between the very meticulous, earthy quality of Virgo and the more rebellious force of Uranus in Taurus. Venus, who actually is fallen in Virgo, operates in a space where love and beauty are analyzed and perfected, honestly to the point of criticism. We talked about this earlier when Venus entered Virgo. Uranus, as this disruptor, infuses Venetian matters with sudden insights and innovative approaches. But when it's in Taurus, Uranus is compelled to slow down, right? To ground its revolutionary tendencies into something more practical and more sustainable. So the combination of these earth signs can mean that the breakthroughs we experience in relationships because of Venus, in finances, or creative activities are here to stay. And they have the potential to be anchored into our reality, reshaping the way we perceive and interact with the world. This aspect really calls for openness to change, especially in areas where we may feel stuck or overly critical. Venus in Virgo's very discerning eye is softened by Uranus's influence, and it actually allows us to break free from perfectionism and embrace the beauty of imperfection, all while keeping our feet firmly planted on the ground. On the 28th, the moon moves into Cancer. The moon's ingress into Cancer, her domicile, her home, is a great thing emotionally because it signals a return to a place of deep emotional resonance. The moon in Cancer is a time when our inner world, our private life, and our need for security come to the forefront. It puts an intense focus on home and family and our roots. It's a time for reconnecting with the past, not in a way that drags us back, but to draw strength from our foundations, you know, maybe draw strength from our family. The moon in Cancer always asks us to think about where we feel safe, both emotionally and physically, and how we can nurture that sense of security. This two-day period is great for self-care. Take a bubble bath, cook a nice meal, light a candle, and clean your spaces. Later on the same day, Venus in Virgo forms an opposition to the nebulous, boundary-dissolving energy of Neptune retrograde in Pisces at 4:24 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Oppositions represent a tension between two polarities that need to be reconciled. And here, we see the tension between the practical, detail-oriented Venus in Virgo and the dreamlike nature of Neptune in Pisces. Venus in Virgo, as we know, looks to perfect, to purify, to bring order to chaos, whereas Neptune, on the other hand, kind of just represents the infinite, the ungraspable, and usually, sometimes, the deceptive. So this opposition is about finding a balance between the real and the ideal, between the tangible and the intangible. There might be a pull to escape the mundane realities of life, you know, to lose ourselves in our fantasies and our illusions. And I think because of that, this aspect really calls for discernment. Venus in Virgo's gift to us, I would say. We should be looking beyond the surface to see through the fog of Neptune's influence and to ground our dreams in reality. It's a time to question what is real and what is kind of just this projection of our desires or our fears. The challenge here really is to integrate the spiritual and the material to bring our highest dreams and ideals into our everyday lives without losing touch with the practical realities that actually sustain us. About an hour later, at 5:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Mercury, after this what seems like a really, really long period of retrograde reflection, finally stations direct in the sign of Leo. The delays, the misunderstandings, and the internal reviews of the past few weeks will start to resolve. The fog is starting to lift, allowing for forward movement and clear expression. In Leo, Mercury's communication is direct, it's creative, and it's infused with a sense of personal authority. Mercury in Leo is always ready to speak from the heart because Leo governs over the heart. It's always ready to lead and to inspire. And the direct station means a turning point where the ideas and plans that have been percolating, I guess you can say, new word for you all there, during the retrograde can now be expressed with more confidence. This is going to be a time to reclaim your voice if it felt lost during the retrograde, which for me, it definitely did, to articulate your visions with courage and clarity. That's very Leo. And the shift from retrograde to direct motion always comes with a surge of new ideas and just a sense of finally being able to move forward. So use this energy to communicate, to share your ideas with the world. On August 29th at 9:23 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Venus returns to her domicile in Libra, a sign where she can fully express her nature as the goddess of love and harmony and beauty. Venus in Libra is gorgeous energy. It's very Gorgina. In astrology, Venus in Libra is in her chariot, a place of strength and dignity where her qualities of balance and fairness and aesthetic appreciation are going to be the most potent. And of course, I'll be at the museum the day Venus enters Libra. As Venus moves through Libra, the emphasis is going to shift towards our relationships, our partnerships, and art and diplomacy. This is a time to find harmony in our interactions, to find the middle ground in our relationships, and to just truly appreciate the beauty in the world around us. Venus in Libra is about considering the balance between ourselves and other people to create and foster relationships that are fair and equitable, and to really just create environments that reflect our sense of beauty and proportion. In Libra, Venus is concerned with justice and fairness, with ensuring that all parties, all people are treated with respect and dignity. So this transit really does encourage us to approach our relationships and social interactions with a spirit of compromise and cooperation. It's a time to smooth over any conflicts, to find beauty in our surroundings, and to really just restore balance in areas of our life that may have become skewed, especially during the retrograde, but specifically in your Libra ruled house. Shortly after her ingress into Libra, Venus forms a harmonious trine with Pluto, which is retrograde in Aquarius, at 10:31 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. This aspect between, if we're going into mythology, the goddess of love and the lord of the underworld, really does hint at a powerful transformation when it comes to our relationships and our values and our sense of beauty. Pluto's retrograde motion could definitely mean that this transformation is probably going to involve revisiting past issues, particularly around power dynamics in relationships or control or intimacy. And in Aquarius, Pluto is concerned with collective change, right? And the evolution of societal structures and with the deep energies that drive our group dynamics. So I'm thinking the trine to Venus in Libra could mean that these larger themes might be playing out in our personal relationships on a whole level for everybody. This is a time to dive deep into the heart of your relationships, to address any issues or lingering fears or nasty shadows you might have when it comes to your relationships. Think about the power of love and how transformative it is. The trine aspect really does offer the opportunity to do this work in a way that actually feels natural and supported, really just allowing for important growth and evolution without the harshness that can sometimes accompany Pluto's influence. Let what's no longer serving you in relationships go and embrace moving towards a deeper, more authentic connection with people and with yourself. On August 30th, the moon moves into Leo. Step into the spotlight, go see a musical, take an acting class, do paint by numbers, be playful, embrace your inner child, be dramatic, laugh, cry, take pictures of both. I personally love when the moon is in Leo. But on a serious note, the moon in Leo really does encourage us to take pride in who we are, to celebrate our achievements, and to share our talents with the world. there is a sense of playfulness and of joy and of a need to be seen and appreciated. This is a time to express yourself fully, to let your light shine, and to just have fun. On September 1st, Uranus stations retrograde in Taurus. Uranus, whatever you want to call it, has the symbolism of a disruptor and a shaker. And when it retrogrades, I'm sure it'll make an impact, which could be anything, really. As Uranus stations retrograde, we're meant to review and reassess the changes and disruptions that have taken place in our lives, particularly in that realm of Taurus, you know, our values and our resources and our sense of security. What house rules Taurus for you? This is a time to reflect on how we have responded to the changes that Uranus has brought, to consider where we may have resisted necessary growth, and to explore new ways of integrating these changes into our lives. And of course, with the retrograde motion, this always means turning inward. In Taurus, Uranus's energy is very grounded and practical and focused on creating lasting value. So this retrograde really offers an opportunity to revisit the foundations of our lives, to make adjustments to them where needed, and to align more closely with our true selves. This retrograde might also bring up themes related to our relationship with the earth, with sustainability, agriculture, and with the way we use and value our resources. It's a time to think creatively about how we can live in better harmony with the world around us and to embrace change in a way that supports long-term stability and to find new ways to honor our connection to the earth. The fall equinox is coming up, and that's going to be a time to really celebrate and honor the earth's cycle. So that could be a potent moment for you if you want to embrace this energy. And it's really just so important considering the current state of our world and our climate. And Uranus is about to change signs in a good handful of months, so we really need to be cautious of what's being left and built with Uranus and Taurus while it's still here. And then last moment of this week ahead is Pluto leaving Aquarius temporarily to enter Capricorn for the last time in our lifetime at 9 p.m. on the dot Eastern Standard Time. August 30th, by the way. But this shift marks the final passage of Pluto through the last degrees of Capricorn, a transit that has been reshaping the structures of our world since 2008. Pluto's energy is the force of deep, usually very painful transformation, and it's going to be undeniably potent. Pluto's retrograde motion back into Capricorn represents a return to the themes that have dominated the last decade and a half, right? Issues of authority and governance and societal structures and the ways in which power is wielded, but also distributed. This final visit to Capricorn is a time of calculation. Honestly, where we're called to review the changes and transformations that have occurred in these areas, both on a personal and collective level. It's a moment to confront the shadows of Capricorn, you know, the fear of losing control, the attachment to old systems, and the resistance to necessary change. When Pluto re-enters Capricorn, we should and will be reminded that true transformation often involves revisiting the past, and the work that was initiated during Pluto's long stay in Capricorn is not necessarily complete. That's why it's coming back for this last knockout round. This retrograde in Capricorn may bring unresolved issues related to power and authority and structure to the surface more than it already is, really urging us to address them with the wisdom gained from Pluto's transit through Aquarius so far. In many ways, this is the final test of Capricorn's endurance and resilience. It's a moment to solidify the changes that have been made and to ensure that they're built on a foundation of integrity and truth. Let's think about the election. It's no coincidence, to me at least, that this happens right before and leaves right after the 2024 U.S. presidential election. Is this going to be a moment where we go back to the themes of 2008 and make a historic presidency, aka Obama being voted in as the first Black president in 2008 when this started, and now possibly Kamala Harris being the first woman president? Think about stuff like that. We may see some instability or gains in our financial structures and banking like in 2008. Try to weed out those types of parallels, because that's what I'm thinking about. Pluto's ingress back into Capricorn just also really signals a reevaluation of the ways we build and maintain our lives. Capricorn being ruled by Saturn is concerned with the long term, with legacy, and with the structures that support our society. And so as Pluto retrogrades through this sign, We're asked to really scrutinize the foundations we have laid, both personally and collectively. Are they even strong enough to withstand the pressures of time and of change? Or do they need to be dismantled and rebuilt from the ground up? I think it's pretty cool how many different directions this transit can go, because this is also going to be a call to take responsibility for the transformations we have undergone in the last decade and a half. Pluto in Capricorn challenges us to step into our power with maturity and discipline. It's about owning the changes we have made in our lives and understanding the consequences of our actions and being willing to do the hard work required to sustain true lasting transformation. As we prepare for Pluto's final departure from Capricorn in November, we need to make sure that the structures we've created are capable of supporting the future that we want. Ultimately, Pluto's return to Capricorn is a time of consolidation and reflection. It's a chance to revisit the lessons of the past 15, 16 years, to make any final adjustments, to prepare for the new era that will fully begin when Pluto re-enters Aquarius for good. I think that the very transformative journey of Pluto through Capricorn has reshaped our world in such important ways, and this final chapter really offers us the opportunity to cement those changes, to integrate them fully into our lives, and to move forward with more strength and clarity. And that concludes this week's episode of Witch Talk. Next week, there is a new moon in Virgo, Mars squares Neptune, Mars then enters Cancer, the Sun makes an opposition to Saturn, and many more. There will be lots to talk about next week. Some bonus episodes are underway, as well as the Cosmic Counseling series. Don't forget to keep sharing your submissions. And now that we're in September, us astrologers are cracking down on putting together content and calendars for 2025. So stay on the lookout for any announcements surrounding those things from me. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. And join me next week as we continue our journey through the cosmos. Until then, keep slaying and stay witchy. Bye!